Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right. Hello, everyone. This is Raise Your Voice as part of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm Brett Rutherford, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Darby Robinson, and we are live on the D-Rays Bay X account. And before we start today's show, just wanted to let you all in on a few exciting announcements for the podcast. First, some of you are hopefully watching us live right now. We're streaming on X from the D-Rays Bay account, and very soon, probably the next episode, we will be live on YouTube.com on the Raise Your Voice channel, brand new YouTube channel, where not only will you be streaming episodes live, we will be uploading these episodes in full-length video form if you prefer listening or watching us that way. And we hope to bring as much live content to you as possible thanks to our partnership with our friends at the Fans First Sports Network. We love going live, getting your live comments, your live reactions, especially as we get closer and closer to the season. So every episode will still be available as a podcast and as a video on YouTube. If you're watching us on YouTube, if you could please do us a favor, drop a like, subscribe. That would be a huge help in growing the channel. Even if you're listening as a podcast, if you could head to YouTube, just subscribe to our podcast channel, turn on the notifications so you know every time we go live. Lastly, we are now on Patreon. So don't want to pressure anyone into donating. If you just like listening, feel free to keep on doing that. And there's no content that we'll be putting behind a paywall for the time being. You will continue to get all the Raise Your Voice content that you always did. But if you so desire, you can head to patreon.com/raiseyourvoice and support us. A few dollars each month. We've got three tiers set up right now, $1 a month, $5 a month, and $10 a month. So feel free to choose one of those if you want to support us, if you like what we do. And by no means, no pressure. If you just want to listen along, that's fine too. But we've got not a lot of news right now to go over. But Darby, plenty of rumors. The trade rumor mill or the Twitter X rumor mill is fully underway in the offseason. We're a week away from the winter meetings. And Randy Arozarena is the newest name that people online seem to think will be traded very soon, imminently.
imminently.
He's not been traded.
I'm updating right now. I'm just trying to see. Yeah, this is the time of year for rampant speculation. And with so many of the big free agents not signed yet, I think that has just like made the random speculation ramp up even more. I think that's sort of like everybody is itching for something. No, it's the time of year of speculation. And it's also the time of year. Well, it's every, I guess that time of year is always constant, but on Twitter, you just, the rumor accounts, right? That throw, they're very scattershot. You know, you throw, you just, it's a shotgun, not a sniper rifle. They are blasting a wide net out there. I'm just going to use every metaphor possible. They basically will say a rumor is for every trade, every free agent, every player, every team. And it's just like this constant churn of like their sources, whoever those might be. Maybe they're real, maybe they're not. Maybe they are people in a organization, but these organizations are big. So maybe you know an analyst, but they heard something, but they're not the decision maker. So I would be surprised if these rumors are coming directly from the highest highs on these accounts. That's why usually you want to wait for like a Jeff Passan to actually say it, because he is actually the one that's, you know, he is texting with your Jerry DePotos and your Eric Neanders to be like, hey, what's going on here? Until he says something or kind of talks about it, I'm usually not all that freaked out or hyped, you know, either way. But some of these lower accounts that try to kind of get into the news, even as they start to get a little bit more publicity, like MLB Nerds, for instance, they get a lot wrong, right? But it's like people don't really remember that. You just have to get a couple things right. Mm-hmm. So last week they were, you know, or just before the Thanksgiving holiday, they had Tyler Glasnow, imminent trade, didn't happen. But that makes sense, though, because there is a lot of smoke. There's a lot of smoke with the Tyler Glasnow trade. There is probably a lot of fire there too. So that's a good rumor to try to like latch out. I could say that too. But if it's not there, if it didn't happen, it probably wasn't that imminent. It might happen next week at the winter meetings. But I think that kind of shows like it doesn't matter if you're wrong. You can be wrong 99 times. If you get the 100th right, then you can go like, look at all these ones that this account got right. So, all that being said, I really do not want a news cycle, especially over the weekend, of Rays fans freaking out because sources tell MLB Nerds that the Rays are shopping Randy Arozarena. Because that is not worth losing your minds about.
Yeah.
Nothing in this world has changed in like the reality from yesterday or a few hours ago. The Rays are probably actively shopping Tyler Glasnow and Manuel Margot.
Yeah. And potentially Harold Ramirez.
I don't even know if they're actively shopping. Like, yeah. I think there's just a very big difference, right? Between making calls, checking in. And I think we're gonna have to get into that, which is like, what is the Rays like strategy when it comes to these trades? But like, I think something with Randy Arozarena, I don't see why this would come as a shock that he would be mentioned as somebody that could be traded. And that's where we're at. And I think MLB Nerds might be right, but for the wrong reasons, good result, bad process. If they're saying like Randy Arozarena's name is coming up and the Rays are like taking offers for him, there's a difference between the Rays are trying to get out from under Randy Arozarena before the season starts and, hey, who do you like on our team? It's Randy. Okay, put together an offer. What does that look like? Mm-hmm. And sort of seeing what teams are prepared to give, who is available. And then that kind of gives you the opportunity to say like, okay, I like that piece. Maybe not for Randy. What about a smaller deal for this one piece of that? And you get to sort of see who is movable and who is rock solid that can't be touched on teams. And this is how you do it.
And I think we're seeing, and I'm going to try to, I don't even remember who the reporter was that like went on, was it Mad Dog Show and like trashed the, Cespedes Family Barbecue guy. It was, Rinaldi.
It was former Dodgers.
I don't want to like say the wrong name. We've done that before on this podcast. But I don't want to take like that angle on it, but like there is a difference, I think, still between like internet people and then like journalists. Not to say that internet people can't be good journalists. I think we've got quite a few at draisebay.com, right? But there are some people, like you said, like kind of clout chasing, and these trade discussions, and now like some people my age, Gen Z people, are working in front offices, and like there's a lot of these trade discussions that happen. Like, I've gotten some information that, and I'm not trying to say like I'm an insider by any means, but I've heard of trades that were close to happening or were talked about and were never happened. Some of them did happen. And you hear things as you get to know people in baseball, and just because it's being talked about, like, doesn't mean it's ready to be reported on. And again, absolutely, Randy Rosarena could very well be traded. It would shock me, but it wouldn't be like earth shattering. Tyler Glasnow probably will be traded. Isak Paredes is a name we'll talk about in a little bit. Might be traded. His name being floated around by some guys like Jeff Passan and John Morosi. Yeah. And so again, like, we're going to talk about the idea of trading Randy Rosarena. But you're going to hear things on the internet. Like, this happens every July. It happens every December, of these trades that are being talked about, names that might be moved, and some of them will, some of them won't. And so I think you can take that report and be like, okay, so clearly there are probably some discussions happening around Randy Rosarena. Are they serious? We probably won't know until the trade actually happens or doesn't happen.
Exactly. And so like you, Brett, I have friends who work in the industry, who work in different teams. I've chatted with folks, and like, you hear stuff, and I never pass that stuff on because most of the time it's not mine to report. I'm not trying to be a scoop person, and I'm not trying to get ahead of those things. So it's fun to hear about stuff. And it's amazing though, how much stuff sounds close and then, hey, it just didn't happen.
Or like, you know, trades, like, you hear about trades that really make sense, and you're like, oh, that'll definitely happen. And
then it's like, oh, hard. This offer came in, this was almost there, and you know, it just like kind of didn't happen, and that just happens, right? Until you get to that, it might be one of those things where the person sleeps on it and wakes up and is like, you know what? Actually, I don't want to do this. And that is totally fine. That's the business of it. So I'm not even going to try to say that like the MLB nerds folks don't have somebody who maybe is like an analyst that's not like very bottom rung, not like the ticket seller at the stadium that heard it from, you know, the security guard who heard it from, you know, this person in the elevator, but maybe they have somebody who is in some of these meetings and they're saying like heavily scout Rand, like, you know, what scouting of Randy really do you need to do, but like heavily just put on the 2020 playoff tape and you're like, hey, he's pretty good. But like, you might be like, oh, this looks pretty good. We're looking at other pieces, and then it could totally fall apart. So I think the difference there, you mentioned it, is the difference between like kind of that real journalistic integrity and just the scattershot is that you can hear that stuff. That's one thing. Two, getting confirmation is the next thing. And then being like, do I have enough to move on? How real is this? How much of this is just talking and bullshit? Mm-hmm. By the way, Alana Rizzo was the reporter who lasted. Mm-hmm. Jake Mintz of Sassetta's Paneling Party Cube. But that's the thing there. She blasted like the bloggers and all that. Jake is a credentialed,
right,
like he's been working in the actual baseball industry for MLB.com. even he was working with Fox in the clubhouse when he reported that last postseason, which was also just the most bizarre. It was a very weird, bizarre baseball thing, but I think most people came down on, it's not the blogs necessarily that's the problem. Obviously, like, we're not gonna be blaming that. That's what we do. It's the idea of what, how do you go about your business?
Right.
Is this the right way or is this the wrong way?
There are bad journalists at major publications. So
I'm not listening to Bob Nightingale's tweets as gospel. I'm checking a couple of sources.
And to be fair to Alana Rizzo, I think she did apologize, and Jake Mintz is like, they've hashed it out. And so I think everyone's kind of moved on from that. But I wasn't trying to be the person that sits here behind my mic that's never been in a major league clubhouse, that's never been a credentialed media member in the big leagues, to like downplay what people are hearing, what people are reporting, and people are free to report whatever. If you hear something, I mean, you're free to do whatever you want with that information. And maybe it's true. I don't know.
It's also tough too, because like I have been a credentialed reporter. I've been in the clubhouse a few times, not a lot, not like talking or anything like that. Those guys, and you do hear some stuff. And sometimes people after a loss are like frustrated and they're just kind of venting. And then you could take that into a story, or you keep a part of that. And so I think for somebody like Topkin, he hears a lot of rumors. When he posts rumors, they generally are beyond the somebody mentioned something. He's like, okay, they're probably going to make this move, this trade.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing we always sort of see. It's like when he's like, I'm hearing Curtis Mead could be an option for this call up. It's like, okay, they've already contacted the Mead family to get on an airplane they're getting on a Qantas jet already.
So Mark Topkin walked by and saw them like stitching on the Mead onto the jersey. Getting a locker ready.
One option that could potentially make sense for a right-handed bat. I think that's actually, I will say we have sometimes given Topkin, we've had disagreements on some of his bents on reporting, but like he is clearly a professional who does go about, like, he's not going to report something frivolous. And so mm-hmm. I do think there is a level of standards that is not there necessarily for a lot of these kind of rumor mill accounts, because they don't have to be. They don't have an editorial responsibility.
Right.
And so it's not that they're doing anything wrong. It's that you as a consumer, when it comes to, and this is for everything out there, for any kind of news, be a good consumer of information and consider the source, consider the information, and don't just necessarily take anything you hear at face value, especially if it's outlandish. So mm-hmm. when it comes to these rumors, let's just like get into them. I think Randy Rosarena.
Yeah.
Brett, do you think he could be traded this offseason?
Definitely. And I think I thought that coming into the offseason, and an interesting player, given the fact that he has been, for my money, the most reliable player on this Rays team since 2020. Like, the Rays acquired him. He had the COVID issues. I think they kept him at the complex for a little bit. Obviously came up and did
chicken
what he
and
did.
Rice.
Yeah.
And push-ups.
Tons of push-ups. And then like he joined the Rays late in the regular season and never turned back. Right. And since then has become a folk hero, has become an all-star, has become a consistent big league contributor in the 3-4 win range. Was a home run derby finalist this year, was a hero in the World Baseball Classic for Mexico, like has established himself as one of, if not the biggest star in franchise history, and has matched that with some really solid on-field production.
Absolutely. For my money, he is the biggest star that the Rays have ever had.
That's like completely theirs.
Not to say, yes, and not to say that he's the best player in franchise history.
No.
But I think he is the biggest star, like over. I mean, he is the GQ Mexico Man of the Year. Like that's just not something that you're getting with it. You know, any other Fred McGriff or Evan Longoria or Carl Crawford. Like, there is that crossover appeal. I guess Carl Crawford now, people know him outside of baseball, not for great reasons, but but you know, he has some knowledge.
Randy's reach is global. I think it does. Yeah. People know who, like Evan Longoria, huge star, and especially in the United States. Like, I think there were a lot of people my age who grew up that weren't Rays fans that were huge Evan Longoria fans. But Randy Rosarena, I think, just has a bigger reach. But going back to his on-field, a couple years ago, I think it might have been after even the 2020 run, maybe after 2021 when he won Rookie of the Year, switched agents, became a Scott Boras client. He is going to hit free agency a little bit later in his career because, you know, he grew up in Cuba, had to defect to Mexico, played in the league over there before the Cardinals signed him. And so his career was kind of delayed a little bit. And now he's in his late 20s and he's still a few years away from free agency. And so when he does hit free agency, he's going to be probably past his prime as a hitter. Maybe he's still got some really good years left in him, but you imagine by the time he hits free agency, the defensive value might drop even more because he's not a great defensive player now. He's serviceable. The Rays have never signed a contract, agreed to a contract with a Scott Boras client, not a settle and don't go to ARB, like a true either contract extension or I believe even a free agent contract with a Boras client. Maybe it's happened once or twice. Someone's probably going to fact check me there, but it just doesn't happen. Scott Boras, notorious for making sure his clients get to free agency, because he's right on about this. That's where they get the most money. You're not going to get the
he's
most money.
He's great at what he does. I want to say this. I do not see Scott Boras is not a villain in baseball.
No,
he has a job, and he will do that job perfectly. Mm-hmm. And he'll make maybe himself look like kind of a goofball sometimes, but that's just to get his client he will do anything to get his client an extra dollar. And I think that's really cool. But the reality is,
I have not seen a raise in Randy Rosarena extension on the horizon at any point. As much as I think the Rays would love to, and maybe Randy does too, Scott Boras probably just won't let that happen. And so he's still got a few years left. This is his value will never be higher. And so if you're the Rays, you're not afraid to trade guys with multiple years of control left. They've shown that in the past. They inked Blake Snell to an extension. A year later, they traded him. And they've done that with other players too. They don't always wait until there's a year of control left. They'll do it when the move is right. Now the price has to be right as well, but the idea of trading Randy Rosarena is not insane. Now, where I'd be shocked is the fact that Randy Rosarena has become that star. And the Rays, with very few exceptions, will keep those players for as long as they can. They did it with Carl Crawford. They let him go to free agency. Evan Longoria, they traded with, they extended him, but then they traded him with years left on a deal. But
they extended him twice.
Yeah, they did extend him twice. And with Rosarena, who is up there in terms of face of the franchise for the Rays with Crawford and Longoria, has a section in left field named after him. He clearly is probably the highest Q score of any Rays player. So there is some value outside of what he provides on the field. And it would be a gut punch for a lot of Rays fans if he's traded. I mean, I can't think of the Snell trade. I don't even know if he was universally loved, and he's a pitcher, so it's always a little different. But what's the last time the Rays truly? It was probably the Longoria trade, where it's a gut punch. And even if you're okay with it in a baseball sense, it'll suck when it happens. Like the day that Randy Rosarena isn't a Ray anymore.
I think an eventual Randy trade, whether that happens this year, next year, 2 years from now, whatever. When he leaves this team, it'll be sad because I think he is a extremely he is maybe one of the most charismatic baseball players in all of baseball. Everywhere he goes, the fans there love him. He wins people over in left field everywhere he goes. That is a very unique level of star. However, I will say, if you're looking through Rays trade history, it would be bigger than David Price. It would be bigger, not in terms of just performance, in terms of fan perception. It would be bigger than Price. It'd be bigger than Shields. I think Shields is close, but I think it would be bigger than Shields. I think the only players that would come close to that would be Longoria. I can't even say Snell. I think the Snell trade took people by surprise because of the fact that it was just after the World Series. And then there was the whole his last performance in the World Series was so good.
And so polarized,
so polarizing.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Snell though, is I saw the comments on D-Rays Bay and on Twitter, Rays fans. You cannot say that you all loved Snell universally and really saw how good he was. There was some people tearing their hair out watching him pitch. Like, he is a very unique pitcher.
Even to this year, and he won a second Cy Young Award, and there's still people that are, like, not sold on Blake Snell.
He's really good. He also has bad command. He then walks too many people. He only goes about five innings. Like, even after leaving Kevin Cash, guess what? He doesn't see the seventh inning.
Forever.
It's one of those pitchers where it's like, yeah, everybody would want him on your team, but then you don't necessarily want to watch him pitch in a lot of ways. It's a tough. It's like he's clearly very, very good. And trading him at that time was losing a very, very good player. But I don't think, like, the emotional investment was quite the same. It is Longoria. However, the Randy thing is different because Longoria at that point was getting old.
Yeah, he was past his prime.
And he was multiple seasons in a row of declining performance. And he's, since leaving, has been basically a journeyman vet. And you know what? Age and injuries, that happens to everybody, right? He was a good piece of the Diamondbacks run. He was not even, like, a big contributor there. But he was, like, I think a good clubhouse guy and came through with a couple hits. And, you know, but that's not the legend. With Randy Rosarena at this moment, if he was traded this offseason, you are trading probably this would be the biggest trade in Rays history in the sense of performance and popularity combined. You are trading a David Price level performer with an Evan Longoria level emotional attachment.
Yeah.
And I think that would be the interesting thing. That would be the very interesting level trade to see how the fan base reacts to that, because they have not had to deal with that kind of level of, I think that would be an interesting thing. He is a singularly popular person. Now, all of that being said is kind of the reason why Randy's name will be brought up in trade talks, because he is a 3-4 win outfielder. He is a good player. His defense is getting worse, and his style of play is something that does not age very well. He tries to steal way too much for his speed level, gets caught stealing a ton, which does hurt him. And he is somebody that, like Tommy Pham, in a lot of ways, could decline post-trade. And that decline could happen fairly sharp. It could just be a solid, he becomes a 2-3 win player, rather than a 3-4 win player. So that is somebody that you maybe trade high on, where there's 3 years left of control. You're trading a guy that is really good, but maybe at a great level value because he is so popular. He is a star level player, but maybe not a star level performer. And if you can trade him for a package that is a star level player, that is something to consider. That's why his name is going to be out there. It's not because he's making too much money or the Rays think he's going to fall off the cliff immediately. I think he's somebody that you go, okay, if we can get a Juan Soto level, like, you know, return for somebody that is like half Juan Soto level performance, you think about that. However, that's where I think the whole idea of this being something that's like, it's just about to happen, I would not hold your breath on that, because I think that would be a very tough trade to pull off, because the other team can't be saying he's a really good 3-win outfielder. We're thinking between him and a bounce back season of Mitch Haniger. It's like, no. If you're offering like, hey, we can probably piece together a platoon outfield, or we'll trade for Randy, but we're not like in love with that. I don't think the Rays make that trade. I think they need to be blown away. And that trade would have to, I think, impact the team really well right away.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I won't like hate on a trade until I see a return. Like,
yes.
Like there are very few players that are just absolutely untouchable. Like in on the Rays, it's Junior Caminero, although the Rays offered him in a trade this year.
Potentially. Yeah. Rumored to be involved. Again, we don't know how much. It also could be somebody over in the Angels that was like really bitter.
Yeah.
About how things are going and being like, maybe that was like a initial offer. But yeah, apparently for Shohei, that was the rumor out there.
And then the only other player would be like before this year would have been Wander Franco. And now he's like untouched. No one wants to touch. Like no one wants
he's
to.
Untouchable.
Him.
He's still untouchable.
No one wants to. He might like at this time, he might be the least or, you know, biggest negative surplus value. I don't know what I'm saying, but like he might be the most untouchable player, like even more so than Steven Strasburg, who's retired and still making like owed to make like $80 million. If a team,
I think.
That's sad. But I don't know, like, can you make up? So if you're going into the season as the Rays, right? And I've talked about with the Glasnow trade, I'm pretty comfortable with the Rays pitching staff sans Glasnow. Mm-hmm. It's better with Glasnow. But you could always add. You don't know what you're going to get out of Bradley in year two. You don't know what Boz is going to look like. I'm okay with the Rays pitching staff without Glasnow. I think it's still a team that will contend for the division and, you know, be in contention for a postseason spot. You start to look at the Rays offense where let's assume you're not going to have Wander Franco, who was one of your best hitters. And if you take Randy Arozarena out of this lineup, I start to have some question marks, not necessarily like panic mode. How will they get this production? Again, that would be more at-bats for younger players. You expect if they trade from their core of position players, it's going to be more at-bats for Curtis Meade and Jonathan Aranda. Obviously, neither of those guys are outfielders. But you just start to think, okay, where is the production going to come from if you're without Franco and you're without Arozarena? I just don't see, like, unless you're trading Arozarena for, like, a top-tier pitching prospect and some other big league ready spots. Like, I just don't see an Arozarena trade as being smart baseball wise. Like, I don't know if I can get there if you're losing Arozarena and you're losing Glasnow. Like, I just don't see how that is best for the 2024 Rays. And I don't want to kick the can down the road. I don't want to trade wins now for wins later. Like, as a Rays fan, like, we've made the postseason 5 years in a row, and I don't take that for granted, but I'd like to make that 6. And if you're a team without Glasnow and Arozarena and Franco and McClanahan, did we just lose our two best position players and our two best pitchers? You still got Yandy Diaz and some other guys. But I don't know. I worry about that. I struggle to see how an Arozarena trade and a Glasnow trade, if those both of those things happen, because I've kind of settled with the idea that Glasnow is being dealt, like how the Rays will be better without those two guys next year. Well, I don't know. What are your thoughts on losing Arozarena and what that means for the offensive production?
I think it's a very difficult thing to speculate on because the fact that you need the return to evaluate. I think it is very difficult to replace that performance, that production level, especially from Randy, because you know you're getting a really good, he is fairly streaky sometimes, but he is gonna, at the end of the year, going to be a 3-4 win outfielder. And that's not completely easy to like replace. Yeah. That's an all-star level player.
Yeah.
Right. If it's a 1-2 win player, you can replace that pretty easily. But a 3-4, that's in another level. That's a tougher. That's a key contributor. Now, I think you have to look at when you're evaluating Rays rumors. You have to evaluate how do the Rays operate. And the Rays are a team, they do not rebuild. They have not rebuilt it since the Matt Silverman era.
Yeah.
They have been basically in a constant state of playing for today and tomorrow simultaneously. They want to be able to compete in 2024, 2025, 2026, and then next year, They want to be able to compete in 2025, 26, and 27. Mm-hmm. When you think of it like that, you then realize when it comes to these rumors, this is not, are the Rays blowing this up? Are they going to trade Glass now for some, like, you know, low A arms? Are they going to trade Randy now for like some 17-year-olds who are like coming up? Basically, these trades would be a big impact on the present. They would improve the future. But the Rays are not in that kind of Baltimore Oriole style of, you know, maybe tank a few years, blow it all up, and then hit this crest with a bunch of young talent all at once. It's choosing which young talent sticks around and gets promoted, who gets a spot. But the goal is still competing in 2024. The Rays are going into 2024 already with a very strong core, a division and postseason competitive team. And I think they're going to maintain that. And I think when the 2024 season starts, this will be a team that is expected to make the postseason. That's just where I stand. This is a team that is expected to be. That's the starting point. What that looks like could be a lot of moves in between that then and now. But I do think that's what's going to happen. So when I look at trade rumors, it becomes even harder. Because you're trading Glass now. And then the rumors of Isak Paredes, that's a lot of production to replace. And you don't really have a lot of open spots. You have some key contributors like Junior Caminero. You trade Paredes, that opens a spot for Caminero. Okay, but now you still have to fill other spots. Trade Randy, now you need an outfielder. At a certain point, you need to get better in those spots versus more, because they've kind of reached the capacity on depth. You can only hold 26 people. You can only hold like 13 position players. So you really do need a few more of those star level performers. So trading Randy, trading Paredes, trading Glasnow, those would be they can work. Those trades can work, but I'd be very curious to see how they match up, because they need immediate impact as well as future impact.
Right.
And so that's hard. I will say, like, that, you know, like you said with Randy, like that's a big hole that you were opening. And so the other trades would have to line up. And
I also feel like kind of both of these moves, the Glass down on the Rose Arena, and we'll get to Paredes in a second, because I think that's a whole different can of worms. It feels like stuff that will happen after, like, the Ohtani dominoes start falling, maybe Yamamoto and a couple of these other really big names, the biggest names in free agency, once those dominoes start to fall. Because a few teams that have the big league ready talent, they have the stocked farm systems, and the names that I think the Rays would be interested in when shopping Glasnow and a Rosarena and maybe Paredes, I'm looking at Seattle, I'm looking at the Dodgers, I'm looking at the Cubs. Those are really, like, the Dodgers seem like they would be interesting candidates for both a Rosarena and Glasnow. And maybe if they miss out on Ohtani, maybe they even try to go get both. If you're trying to recreate Shohei Ohtani with a Rosarena's bat and Glasnow's arm, a Rosarena not nearly as good of a hitter as Shohei Ohtani, but this is second place, right? Glasnow, you know, he's going to probably throw out the same amount of innings as Ohtani once Ohtani's healthy again. Like, that seems like something that, like, the Dodgers would be a good candidate for.
It's really crazy when you just said that, like, Shohei is better pitcher than Tyler Glasnow and a better than Randy Rosarena. Yeah. Like, it's everything about Shohei is insane, because, like, I'm looking at that and I'm like, oh, the Dodgers are, that's probably the next best thing you can do. If you're getting not as good at either, mm-hmm. but you're still getting pretty, like, damn, that's really, those are two all-star level, like, performers that Shohei's. Show his beard. Anyway,
that's interesting. Incredible. Some of the interesting names in the Dodgers organization that I think the Rays would have a lot of interest in, the profiles that the Rays look for. Miguel Vargas, who I know has had some struggles at the big league level. One of their top prospects, Andy Pajes. Yorbit Vivas, another guy, like, I think a similar profile to, like, a Jonathan Aranda. Or like a left-handed Isak Paredes, but, like, maybe there's some more power to unlock there. again, I'm just kind of spitballing with some names that I really like, but young guys, controllable, that are either big league ready or at the doorstep. And I do think the Rays probably need to replenish like the Durham Bulls, which I'm looking forward to now that I live in the area. I want to see what they can do for the Durham Bulls roster for next year, because all these guys keep coming up and they've got to keep replacing them. Gavin Stone would be like a pitcher that I'm interested in. I don't know.
Like Ryan Pepio and Emmett Sheehan are two other pitchers that I really, really like.
Diego Cortaya. The Dodgers are like a treasure chest of guys at the big league level, prospects. That seems like an obvious partner. Seattle with the pitchers that they have. Logan Gilbert, Brian Wu.
Bryce Miller.
George Kirby's probably untouchable.
You'd think so, unless he pissed people off with his comments at the end of the year.
What did he say at the end of the year?
The Rays was left in too long against the Rays, and they tagged him.
Oh, that's right.
And then he kind of basically said, like, oh, the manager really shouldn't have left me in so long.
Yeah.
And so that really ruffled some feathers, but like, I don't think they'd be very silly to give up on him that easily.
I don't think over a comment.
Kirby is their best pitcher. That is, he is their best pitcher. Yes, and Luis Castillo is there, but Kirby is their best pitcher.
I might debate you on that one, but that can be for another show. But I think
that's fine.
The Dodgers make some sense. The Padres, especially if they move on from Juan Soto, maybe they're interested. Although, like, I have no idea what their plan is.
I don't know which direction they're going. Yeah.
Yeah.
They can't rebuild because they have Tatis and Machado.
When I look at the Padres and I have no idea how to fix that mess. They do have some clear needs, but it's not like a glaring hole where like, okay, plug and play this guy and that will fix all their problems. Like they've done a lot that you think would fix them. Probably just more pitching. I don't know.
More pitching.
Yeah.
More pitching. They had a Cy Young winner, and that was not enough. So,
but he's leaving now, so we'll see. Yeah. So there's some interesting like ways the Rays could pull off an Rosa in a trade. I don't know. I'm kind of in the camp of believe it when I see it, which I am with most trades. Although, like Glasnow, I think we can kind of admit there's enough smoke there.
Glasnow makes the Glasnow trade rumors have. I would say they have the most smoke. They also, I think, have the most fire because of the fact that he's owed $25 million for the Rays. That is a lot of money. That is a big chunk of their payroll. And he is somebody who has a pretty extensive injury history. So it's like, do you really risk that big chunk of your payroll on somebody who may not be there when it matters most? So risk reward, I agree with you. Glasnow trade makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
The Randy trade, I'm glad we talked about it, but I am very suspicious. I'm very suspicious that would happen. And if it did happen, I'd be fascinated by the return because I think that's a very difficult trade to line up. It could be one that you're setting up for next winter meetings, this next one coming up but in 2024.
The Dodgers, I just mentioned a bunch of names that I love on the Dodgers, and I feel like for the Rays to trade him, they would need a little bit of an overpay. I don't know if the Dodgers are willing to overpay for a player with a Rosarena's profile. I don't know. Like I have a feeling like whoever trades for Randy Rosarena probably I feel like he's going to go to free agency. He's going to probably try to bet on himself, not sign an extension, and we'll see if it works out. Like someone will pay him once he's like age 32. And I'm interested to see where that rumor goes, if anywhere. The one name that has been thrown around, it's been mentioned multiple times by ESPN's Jeff Passan. John Morosi also mentioned the possibility of an Isak Paredes trade. A guy who I believe Baseball Trade Values has him with the most surplus value in the organization. Yeah. That's because he has so much control, and he had a great season offensively this year as the Rays third baseman. This one I would hate. I mean, you imagine it would be a haul. I don't like the idea of trading a guy who has proven himself with the Rays to be a good big league hitter. What are your thoughts, Darby?
He is one of the most interesting players. that the Rays have. I am fascinated, befuddled, baffled, intrigued. Like, he does a lot of things that I absolutely love, and his results were incredible. Unbelievable plate coverage, an absolute pest to pitch to, because he won't really swing outside of the zone. He'll be able to foul off a lot of stuff, make a lot of contact, and kind of like a Yandy Diaz type guy who just absolutely pesters you with his lack of whiffs and unbelievable strike zone command. He also only hits homers to the pull side. Mm-hmm. He only pulls. It's his spray chart is hilarious. It is all pull. So you would think with such an all or nothing approach, pitchers would be able to easily carve him up. And yet, so far, not even close. And that's a testament to his bat speed, his zone command, his just ability to be able to get to pitches that he needs and then actually put some damage on him. The flip side of this with Paredes is he's a player that if I was looking from the outside, I don't think I would buy it. And it's so funny to see fans of other, you know, I think there's some very not great ways to go about evaluating players. And that's one, you just look at their Savant page and go, look at all this blue. He's bad. That's not a great way to do it. Right. Those bubbles are fun, but they're not a be all end all. What is a player that if I was looking for me, I don't know if I would want the Rays to trade for at this point. He was an interesting ad when they traded Austin Meadows. And now that he's done it, it feels weird, but like, I'm like, I don't know if I believe it all the way because of he's gotten even more extreme in the style, but it's such a fascinating, all of his expected rates are average to below average. And that's a very weird thing. So I actually see Isak Paredes as a guy that I could talk myself either way. I could absolutely talk myself either way because I think maybe he's just a unicorn, right? Like there are players that do this. And Paredes, I kind of am reminded a little bit of like Jose Bautista, who was this totally different player coming up with the Rays of amongst many other teams. And then he basically was like, what if I just pulled everything? What if I just looked for balls to yank into the air to my pull side? They'll probably fly out of the park. And with that bat speed was able to do that. And he became a 40 home run perennial masher. Paredes could totally see that as his future. It's like a Jose Bautista style like batter, but with like maybe even better because of his bat control and ability to draw walks. But then I also see a guy and I'm like, is this sustainable? Is this style of hitting sustainable? Can he keep doing this? Like his BABIP wasn't crazy, but like every expected stat, like he didn't have a high hard hit rate. He didn't barrel the ball. Mm-hmm. He just never struck out, never swung and missed, walked amazing, and just got enough home runs that it was great. So I could see the Rays having a ton of analysts that absolutely hate Paredes and a bunch that are like, I actually love him. And I think that's what makes him such a fascinating. I don't think he's a player that would be even a question of being traded from a team like the Rays if he was normal.
Yeah.
But like the fact that he has such an outsourced production level to such befuddling lower like peripherals is wild.
Yeah,
but he's also so cheap for so many years. So like the Rays would not, if they trade him, it's definitely not money related because he's getting almost nothing for two more years before he hits ARB.
Well, so he's ARB eligible this year. He's super two eligible. He's a super two candidate.
Oh, he's super two.
So I didn't know going in. I thought he had one more year of pre-ARB left as well. So projected at about $3.2 million for this coming year.
I just looked. Yeah, he got those 108 at bats in 2020 with the Tigers. Oh,
yeah. So that does change COVID the calculations year. A little bit. The idea of like, are we going to get stuck? Like, and if he ever falls off a cliff, like you're not stuck with him. You can always non-tender, but he is still really cheap. And it's like, okay, at worst, he's still going to hit, you know, a certain amount of home runs every year. Like, I don't see him just being like a liability. I don't think he's
solid really had defensively. An injury
history. Like, yeah, I mean, he played some short. Did he play some shortstop this year? Did he get in at
he
short?
I think he played a game. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think they were just like, all right, let's see how this goes.
Came as the shortstop. He played there. He stood there. But he's played first. He's played second. He's played third. I mean, I think there's that versatility is really nice. And he's played a decent version of all three of those.
And again, I mean, okay. Like, let's say, I don't think this will happen. Let's say Glasnow is traded, Rosarena is traded, Paredes is traded, and Wander Franco is not back. That Rays lineup, I mean, you imagine they would add some big league talent through trades or through free agency. Man, that starts to look really bad really fast. And you're relying a lot on Curtis Meade, on Caminero, on Josh Lowe, on Jose Siri to have another weird year where he can hit, you know, 25-plus home
Luke
runs.
Luke Rayleigh.
Like,
not fall great. Yandy to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Brandon Lau to stay healthy. Well, I think this is where I see where Rays fans freaking out with like the Randy trade rumor is you're seeing the play expecting anything. I think it's hard because you're like, until I see what the return is, like you have to see like what all of the, you know, if you trade Glasnow and you get a position player back, then you trade Randy and you get a pitcher back, you trade Paredes and you get, you know, a catcher. Like you can, it's one of those things where when the first domino falls, there's also a good chance that it makes everybody more confused. Cause that's how the Rays usually operate is one trade goes and you go like, well, what are you going to do now? And then the next trade happens or the next signing happens. And you're like, oh, okay. That's what that's going to, okay. I see that. That's the move. So it's really hard thinking about replacing all of those guys. But the reason you trade, if for some reason all of those people get traded the same offseason, I feel like you would have had to have received such an overhaul that you're basically changing the entire face. You are still building a competitive team, but you're maybe changing the entire face of what that team is.
Mm-hmm.
No. So it's for me, it's like one of those things where I don't think you're wrong. At all. I think you're right about the idea of like Paredes is 30 home runs. Randy is a 2020 guy. Glasnow is, even if he only throws 120 innings, those are, you know, top 10 pitcher in baseball level, maybe even sometimes top 5 pitcher in baseball level innings. How do you replace that? And then, you know, Wander, obviously, that's like an 8-win player potentially. How do you replace that? Okay, you really can't if you're just losing all of those guys. But what do each individual person bring back? It's right now we only think about what we have, and it's all theoretical. And I think the key is you aren't just necessarily matching up the baseball trade values. You need like big impact coming back in. Also, if you trade all those people, that's a huge amount of like payroll flexibility.
Yeah,
that then maybe you sign somebody to like I don't know. It's so hard because that's so many moving parts and so many key pieces to replace.
I think
those might be self-evident in the returns.
And again, I'm working under the, and I don't think this will be the case, but the three names we've talked about, Glasnow, Paredes, or Rosarena, if you trade them all, I have big worries about 2024 being more of like the 2020, 2022, like the quote unquote transition Rays, where it was like, here's Josh Lowe, here's Vidal Brujan, here's Taylor Walls. They're going to look not great right now. But the hope is get that year of big league experience under their belt, and then they become regular contributors for you. Maybe that happens with, you know, Curtis Meade and Junior Caminero and Jonathan Aranda, if the Rays really believe in him. And then in 2025, Maybe in some universe, Wander Franco is back with your team. Maybe Carson Williams is the next guy ready to come up. Maybe you've got a stud pitching staff led by Taj Bradley and Shane Baz, and you've still got Shane McClanahan and Jeffrey Springs. I can't even think that far ahead with the Rays of what the roster will look like and who the core will be. My worry is, like, this team won 99 games this year, and other than Glasnow, who I'm okay with, like, sure, could Stu Sternberg afford to pay him? Sure he could, but, like, we know the constraints that the Rays work with. I'm okay with a Glasnow trade. We can get by. We can add. We can replace those innings somehow. But, man, I really like the Rays on the position player side of things, even without Wander Franco. Like, I think that's still a team that's a 90-plus win team that's going to be in contention. And trading Isak Paredes, like, sure, was this year somewhat flukish? Maybe. But he's 24. Like, some guys don't even make their big league debuts until they're 25, 26. He's got a lot of development to do, too. And the Rays clearly liked his bat enough to trade Austin Meadows for him when they did. Like, I think, like, I would hate to see Isak Paredes, like, reach his final form in his true peak with another organization. And maybe he doesn't. Maybe that was the best of Isak Paredes. Maybe he'll just be, like, this weird power hitter that has some value in certain roles. But, man, I think there's a lot of potential there. I would hate to see him find that with, like, Seattle.
Oh, well, Seattle never won. Seattle's cursed. It won't happen. it's going to be a hard, because that's Seattle sports right there. That's your main concern. No, I feel what you're saying. And I do have this funny thought, though, when you were saying that, like, this core player, 30 home runs, 100 RBI, like, how do you replace that? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's how they got him in the first place, was by trading that player, basically, at the exact same point in their development, too. That's the part, too, is that you have Austin Meadows, that trade at that time, you were looking at basically a very mirror image of, like, Isak Paredes. Maybe even, like, more reasonable, as, like, you kind of know what, like, the weaknesses and the strengths were for Austin Meadows. Paredes, it's a little bit more confusing, but you still saw a guy with, like, 30 home run, 100 RBI, all-star level guy. Like, that sky is the limit. How do you replace that? And then sort of you find it with Paredes. I agree. I mean, I think it's a tough – Paredes is one of those ones, because if he was normal, if this production came and you were like, oh, it's because of this, X, Y, Z, I think you become more comfortable with whether he can replicate that or not. I think because it's so – like, strange, that I think it does leave a lot of uncertainty. Is there more? Can he develop even more? Was this it? And that's what leaves it so baffling. I also think we've sort of talked about these three names as if each trade doesn't influence the other.
Right.
So it is very possible that, like, the Rays are willing to trade one key bat and one key arm. They will trade a Glasnow, and they will trade Randy or Paredes or Yandy, and they know which one they really want to trade this offseason. And they're seeing what the value is. And it's very possible that if a Paredes trade comes about, now you don't trade Randy. That shuts that down. Or if a Randy trade comes about, you say, okay, well, we're keeping Paredes, but we're going to be shifting something else. Like, maybe that opens a Brandon Lau trade. I think I think that's the other part that we look at, is how do you do all three of those moves plus replace Wander? I think you have to, each is an individual result.
Yeah.
And who knows what, maybe you go in saying, like, we really do need to add another key pitcher. How do we do that with Randy, with Paredes, with Yandy?
Right. So last few minutes of the show, we talked about some names that have been mentioned. And I know we've called this a winter meetings preview. I imagine the Rays will be active at the winter meetings, and part of me thinks Otani, that will happen kind of before the winter meetings, and that will, you know, every team will then, okay, we got Otani or we didn't. Now let's figure out what we want to do. And I feel like the trades will come pretty quickly once the winter meetings begin. Are they in Vegas this year? Or they usually go back between like Nashville? Vegas. Oh, Nashville. I thought it was just always Vegas or Orlando. So, you know, I think the trades will happen. I expect Glasnow will be traded by the end of the winter meetings. It's not any inside information. That's just a hunch. And I expect the Rays will probably make other moves, and maybe that's part of the Glasnow move, or maybe it's completely separate. But why aren't we hearing more? Like, we're talking about Arozarena and Paredes, and we've talked about why, you know, why their names maybe are involved with these rumors. Like, why aren't we hearing more about guys like Brandon Lau and Yandy Diaz and Pete Fairbanks, all guys that are tied up to extensions there? Maybe, you know, we've seen the best of them. Is it just because they don't have the same value that players like Arozarena and Paredes have? I mean, or do you think there's a chance we see one or more of those guys traded?
Well, the fact that they're not being talked about could be a signal that they might be being offered, because the Rays do tend to live in the shadows a little bit like that. I think with Brandon Lau, I think it showcases the value of him versus his perceived trade value, yeah, and risk is just not there, right? So it's kind of like Kevin Kiermaier for a number of years. Like, the Rays valuation of Kevin Kiermaier was significantly higher than what the league's valuation was. Mm-hmm. So you don't trade him when you think, like, well, this guy is worth more than that, so we're not going to just dump him. I think Brandon Lau is a potential game changing. He is the best power hitter on the Rays. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can listen to every other team, because that's how they pitch the Rays, is they will rather, yeah, face Randy than face Lau. They would rather face Paredes than face Lau. That's sort of how that's how the Rays get pitched. So he's clearly a guy who is a big impact player. He's been hurt a couple of years. He's missed the last two postseason rounds. Those could have been huge difference-making series with Brandon Lau. So I think the Rays are saying, if you're making an offer, especially for that price, it has to be huge. And other teams are trying to bake in the injuries there. Mm-hmm. Fairbanks, I think relievers in the offseason is a tough sell to me, because of the fact that, again, there's teams are less desperate for that relief option in the offseason. Once you get to the regular season, then suddenly teams will pay anything for a reliever. So I do wonder if that, again, the same valuation is just kind of not quite there in that regard.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the rest of the lineup, the rest of the team, I think guys like Curtis Meade or Jonathan Aranda are certainly available for an offer. It's just right now a team calls, they're not asking for Jonathan Aranda yet. They're asking for Isak Paredes. Right. And so you start there, and maybe you go, well, we can't get there on Paredes. The price is not there. So you're looking for a contact guy who doesn't whiff, makes a lot of contact, like some pole hitter. What about Jonathan Aranda? You're looking for a Mexican pole hitting, high contact guy who went to the World Baseball Classic? All right, Jonathan Aranda, there you go. Oh, you were talking about Randy and Paredes. Oh, well, you know, wires crossed. You know, you go down the list of the Team Mexico World Baseball Classic, and Jonathan Aranda is right there. He came through with a big hit. So there, you know, he had one big moment there. I think right now at the winter meetings, and this is how free agency starts, right? You rarely are seeing, yeah, you will sometimes go after some, like Luis Severino just signed with the Mets. Like you're seeing like the maybe below middle tier guys or rehabbing guys like sign up. But for the most part, most of that like A and B level free agents are waiting for the A+ guy to sign. They're waiting for Otani to sign. You're waiting for that like big domino. And then that opens everything else. So if a team is shopping for trades right now, you're asking about Glass now. You're asking about Paredes. You're asking about Randy, because those are the shiniest pieces on the Rays right now.
Agreed. Agreed.
The rest of those pieces will be there.
Yeah. And like,
they can shop later.
They're going to make moves that that shock us, right? They're going to trade a reliever that you thought was definitely back. They're going to acquire a reliever that you think is probably bad, and then we'll be an all-star next year. Like, that's what's fun about the Rays offseason. It's unpredictable. But, yeah, some of the names being thrown around are interesting and polarizing, and some people will be upset, and some people will be happy, I'm sure. And that's what hopefully, you know, we get to experience as Rays fans throughout the year, throughout the offseason, is some fun moves, some interesting moves, and some moves that can give Darby and I some stuff to talk about. Darby, any final thoughts?
Give us the content.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I'm going to let you raise your voice as we close out the show. By the end of the winter meetings, who from the Rays active roster will no longer be here, and where are they headed?
Manuel Margot will be a New York Metropolitan.
Okay, I like
and
that.
And Tyler Glasnow he's going to be a Dodger.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
They need a lot of pitching. They really need a lot of pitching. They can absorb it. He's also somebody they could easily sign.
Yeah. He seems like, I mean, he's from California.
It doesn't take them out of Shohei at all. They need a lot of pitching. Their pitching, their rotation was wrecked. And they have a lot of young pitching.
They're not afraid to like take on the injury prone pitchers either. So I am in full agreement over
Margot. Shohei is not going to be a
pitcher. Yeah.
So you sign Shohei, you still need a pitcher next year because he'll still be rehabbing from time. And he may never be a pitcher again. Like, that's the other thing. Like, we also are looking at is that Shohei's injury leaves the pitching side uncertain. So I don't think somebody that signs Shohei, they may not have the money to do much else, but they're probably not saying like, oh wait, we're good here. So I'll say Glasnow to the Dodgers.
Okay. I agree with you, Margot to the Mets. I also think Glasnow will be traded, but I think it'll be to the Chicago Cubs.
Long romance.
Yeah, it's almost happened before. I know things are a little different.
I feel like it's been years and years of rumors to the Mets, to the Cubs.
And I think there's like one other big league player that will be involved. I'll say that maybe like Sean Armstrong is involved in one of those deals.
Oh.
I think he's got some value. So I'll say Margot, Glasnow, and Armstrong. Armstrong will be a piece in one of those two trades. But yeah, I think, I don't know. It's going to be fun. Maybe the Rays, by the next time you're listening to us, will have signed Ohtani and traded Glasnow and Arozarena and Paredes, and also signed Yamamoto. And we'll go from there.
Almost boring if he just did it like that.
Yeah. So that is going to do it for this week's episode of Raise Your Voice. Once again, if you're watching this on YouTube, drop a like and subscribe. That will really help us grow the channel. Even if you're listening to this as a podcast, make sure to head on over to YouTube at Raise Your Voice Pod. Drop a like and subscribe. It will help us greatly. Also, if you'd like to throw us a few bucks each month, head on over to patreon.com/raiseyourvoice. And as always, head on over to draysbay.com to check out all of the great Rays coverage. Once again, thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you next week.